Okay, well, welcome to the TFB Spotlight, and this is where usually we interview a fellow bookkeeper, but lately I've been having a few expert guests come on too who really have something important to share to us as freelance bookkeepers in our practice and how that we can really serve our clients more. And that's exactly why I asked Donna Lyons to come so that we could have an interview with her. So thank you, Donna, for coming.
Thank you for having me, Gabrielle.
Yes, and I do have a bio for Donna, so let me give you a quick background so that you know about her. Donna Lyons began her career as a Wall Street executive, not somebody you normally expect to have on a TFB Spotlight, and earned her MBA in finance from NYU Stern School of Business. But her dream was to become a business owner, and in 2002, she launched her first successful business with a partner. But then 7 years later, she became a certified professional coach and melded her business and coaching skills to follow her true passion, which is helping entrepreneurs create their dream business and their dream life. Donna's currently the president of Prevendis Group, a company that provides business tools, programs, strategies, and support to small business owners. So she serves many of the same clients that we do. And she is committed to helping small businesses not only stay afloat, but to scale and grow in both profitability and size while allowing the business owner time for a life. At the end of the day, she believes entrepreneurs make or break the economy. Her goal is to make sure they grow, thrive, and have the opportunity to create their own destiny. So hopefully you can see from that great bio that Donna and I have a lot in common, and hopefully you do too, that we really want to support our clients. We want them to grow and thrive because that's really what gives us the juice. Yes, we want to make a good living, but it's all about making a difference because the small business owners really do have a big impact. And if you saw that blog post that I did recently where I mentioned how Donna and I met, and really it was last year, not this year, we met at the ProfitCon for Profit First, and Donna was a speaker this year as well. She was last year too, but Donna and I got to talking, and we were talking about coaching because Donna's a business coach. And she's at a conference with a lot of bookkeepers and accountants. And there's some business coaches, too, involved with Profit First. But Donna and I were talking because as bookkeepers start moving towards using Profit First and becoming more advisory, as we've been hearing for years because of the technology, it dawned on me that that's a skill that we really need to develop. And I think that we often feel uncomfortable about it. So I wanted to invite Donna on for the TFB Spotlight so we could learn more about her journey as a business coach. And then also now she's in association with us much more. Her insights about bookkeepers being able to cultivate this skill of learning how to use coaching, at least coaching methods with our clients so that we can hit that goal of really helping them thrive. So hopefully I've framed that so that this all makes a lot of sense. So Donna, now we jump into the questions. I wanna know, why do you feel that the topic of learning how to advise clients, we know I think we should do it, but why do you think it's important for freelance bookkeepers?
Well, I think it's important because what happens is if you're a freelance bookkeeper and the work that you're doing is very transactional. So yes, you go in and you're keeping somebody's books and that's all you're doing for them. You kind of become a commodity. You're not any different from the bookkeeper down the street. And it becomes very hard for you to be able to tell any business owner why they should hire you versus someone else. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to compete on price, which can get very difficult. Because I don't know a lot of people who really want to be the lowest cost provider.
No.
So if you can learn how to add value to what you do, be more than a son who plugs numbers into QuickBooks or whatever system that you use, you become more valuable. And it's a differentiation point for you so that somebody can say, oh, wait a minute, Gabrielle is the bookkeeper for me because she understands my industry and she can advise me. She can give me more value than just plugging the numbers into my books, which is also important. Mm-hmm. But you become a value added, so you're more attractive and you're worth more.
Yes, yes, and I absolutely agree. And that's where the technology piece comes into it, because, you know, in the past, many business owners, oh yeah, just a bookkeeper, just doing the function, the transactional functions. But now with the way the software, and it's going fast, that's all being automated. And from the business owner's standpoint, it's going to be like, what do I need a bookkeeper for? I can just press this button and my bookkeeping's done. So yeah, for pricing, then that, if we're just a commodity, it's a race to the bottom, like I had mentioned in that article. So yep, we're in line. So tell me a little bit more about, we mentioned it in the bio, but tell me a little bit more about your background as a business coach and starting to advise clients. I mean, what made you really decide to do that? Because your first business wasn't about business coaching, right?
No, it wasn't. And there's a quote that I really love. It comes from a book called Fierce Conversations by Susan Scott. And it is, life is curly, don't try to straighten it out.
I like that.
I love that quote because, number one, my daughter has curly hair. And number two, because that very much describes my life. I did not take a straight path to where I got. But I think everything that you do in life leads you to where you're supposed to be. So I was actually an undergraduate English major in college. I considered majoring in psychology because I've always been fascinated by people and what makes them tick. Mm-hmm. But you know how it goes, outside pressures and kind of this idea about who I should be. But sent me in another direction, and I ended up on Wall Street. I got an MBA in finance. I have to admit, I probably shouldn't say this to this group of bookkeepers, but the first C that I ever got in school was in graduate school in my very first accounting class. It made no sense to me at all. Mm-hmm. I did take additional accounting classes, and I did fine, but yeah, it was a completely different way of thinking for me. So I was on Wall Street for 7 years. I was an analyst. I was doing a lot of number crunching. It wasn't my entire job. I was also writing and meeting with businesses. But I had this realization that being a Wall Street mogul was not really my path. That's not what I was meant to be doing. And I was really passionate about entrepreneurship, and I had sort of developed that while I was in business school. I was like one of a small group of people who volunteered, who wanted to do the consulting project for the small startup company instead of the big Fortune 500 consulting companies. Today, entrepreneurship is a little sexier, but back then, nobody had heard of it. But I was drawn to it. So when I left Wall Street, I said, I'm never going back. And a few years later, when my youngest child started preschool, a partner, a friend of mine, and I said, let's do it. Let's start our business, because we had been talking about it for years. And we started a jewelry company. And it was fun. It was the perfect business for me at that time. And I will tell you, I had no idea what I was doing. My MBA and my years on Wall Street did not translate heavily into small business ownership, and I was a jack of all trades. I did everything. My business partner did one or two functions in the company, and I did everything else, including I became the bookkeeper and the finance person and the banker and the pretty much everything rolled up into one. So it was a really interesting learning experience. We made a lot of mistakes. But the one thing I have to say, we were always profitable from the very first month. I could tell you the story of how that happened, and some of it was outside pressure, but we had a need to be profitable if we were going to continue.
Right.
And so we were. But at some point, again, it was about 7 years, and I thought, you know, this isn't really totally fulfilling for me. I wanted to do something more impactful. And I chose to get certified as a coach. And once I got my certification, and by the way, it was transformative. The experience of going through coach training was really transformative. And by the time I was done, I knew what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to work with business owners and entrepreneurs to help them get over all of the obstacles that I had encountered myself. And that's how I started working with small businesses and small business owners.
I see. And that's how you started the coaching too. So you really, your core was, which it still is wanting to help those small businesses succeed and not struggle like you guys had at the beginning.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that. So then as bringing it back to the bookkeepers and as a business owner, like, would you have liked to get guidance from your bookkeeper?
Oh, yeah. I could have used a lot of guidance. I had a little bit of guidance from my accountant, who had been our accountant for many years and gave me a little guidance as to how to set things up. But I was pretty much winging it, and I did not, you know, for the jewelry company, we didn't have a bookkeeper. I was the bookkeeper in an Excel spreadsheet, because QuickBooks was completely overwhelming to me. And I thought there were so many categories in there that didn't apply. And I probably gave my accountant a great big headache at the end of every year when he had to take all of my numbers that were thrown into my spreadsheet and turn it into something. But I had to figure out every month how much money do we leave in, you know, sort of in the business? How much do we need for inventory? What do I think our, you know, what do I think our sales are going to be? And how are we going to pay ourselves? And all of those things were just, you know, trying there, basically. So if I had had some advice, I think things would have run more smoothly, for sure. Maybe we would have been a little more profitable. There were quarters where we ended up with quite a lot of inventory, and others where we were scrambling to try to, you know, quickly make up what we didn't have, so that we could make more sales. So there were, and the other piece of it is that as a small business owner, you're not sure how you know what you can afford to do. I wanted to, for example, there was a lot of equipment, display equipment, and beading and jeweler's equipment that I wanted to invest in. And it was usually a discussion between me and my partner. Well, yes, we should or no, we shouldn't, but there was no real formula to how to make that decision.
Yeah, what did you do? Look at the bank balance and decide?
The bank balance, exactly. And then my partner would look at her bank balance and say, no, we need to pay that money out, not put it back. So that was actually a running argument that we had, how much money to put back into the business versus take out of the business. So, again, we didn't really have any advice on that other than maybe outside pressures as to what other people wanted us to take out of the business and contribute to the family as opposed to contribute to the business. So those were all questions that I could have used guidance on at the time.
Well, I can see why you're drawn to profit first too, because that helps with that a lot.
Absolutely. Because then you can look at your, you know, your operating expenses and say, is the money there for me to move into an office or to buy that piece of equipment or, you know, hire that virtual assistant or whatever that question is. Whereas before, if you don't have those percentages, you're always going, well, what if I need that money for something else? And it's always a big question mark.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that keeps a lot of business owners up at night. So, but for bookkeepers who are seeing this, that there's a lot financial financially that the business owners worry about, or they're just winging it and they don't know what they're doing and they could use our help. But for bookkeepers who are thinking of, you know, at least gradually moving more towards coaching their clients, if they want to turn that into a service that they can charge for, I mean, the rates for coaches, business coaches, from my observation, is they're all over the map. And yeah, it's going to be even bookkeepers' prices just for bookkeeping can be all over the map too. But if we start going more towards this advisory, you know, do you have any advice for how we could price our services so that it's, you know, if it's true value to the client, like, how do we know how much to charge? How did coaches do it?
It's a very difficult topic. And mm-hmm. I get this question a lot. I see this discussed a lot in coaching, you know, online groups. And in my experience, the way you price is, you know, there are a lot of things that go into it, and I wish I could give you a formula. I know you guys all want one. You want something that you can just plug some numbers into.
Well, here's an extra question. Would you recommend charging by the hour? Because a lot of bookkeepers charge for bookkeeping by the hour. Should they charge coaching by the hour?
I think ultimately, if you can create monthly packages, that is the way to go, and I'll tell you why. Once you start charging by the hour, number one, you can never make more than the number of hours a year. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to scale charging by the hour. Number two, I see that clients tend to question you more when you charge by the hour. Yes. They feel more nickel and dime. They might say, mm-hmm. well, did you really spend an hour on that? Or why is that 3 hours in this month, but it was only 2 hours last month. You know, it gets a little nitpicky. And the other thing is, it doesn't enable you to create efficiencies in your business that might benefit you. Mm-hmm. So if you can charge a package price, it stops that idea that you're just an hourly worker. Mm-hmm. And it creates this idea that you're adding value to their company. And that's really the direction that you want to go in. You know, like I said, if you're doing something transactional, yes, you're saving them time if they were going to do it themselves. But if they can find somebody to do that job for $10 an hour versus your $50 an hour, and they think that person is adequate, they're going to hire the $10 an hour person.
Yep.
But if you are now giving them advice that saves them time and money, mm-hmm. and creates efficiencies in their business,
yep.
and gives them the kind of advice that helps them to grow their business. So, for example, let's say I'm trying to figure out, do I hire a part-time employee, or do I hire an independent contractor, or, you know, if you can give somebody that kind of advice, it becomes extremely valuable, and you become a trusted advisor.
Yes.
And then they feel like they're getting a value add, and you can say, I'm doing your books, and this is all getting done, and this is all included. And I know some bookkeepers are moving towards this. So they'll say, the transaction fees on this piece of software, mm-hmm. and however long it takes us to do your books, plus our monthly phone call where we go over everything and make sure you're on track and I advise you, is all included in one price.
Right.
And that way, they, you know, if they get a little faster at doing your books, they're not penalized by that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also creating value,
yes.
for the business owner. And I will say this, if you could give me advice that doubled my profit this year, would I be willing to pay for that? Absolutely. So even though there's no absolute formula, if you have a good idea of what kind of benefit your consulting services will provide for that business owner, create a win-win with your price. Something where the business owner is better off and you're better off.
That's right, and that's what I teach all the time in all my lessons. It's always win-win. We want it to be win-win. And yet, you want it to be the kind of thing that they can't live without you kind of thing. Yeah. That if you become a partner, really, in the success of their business, then yeah, you handle the bookkeeping, but then when that push button automated bookkeeping comes out that's done for you, they don't want to leave because they recognize that you are not a machine just doing transactions, but that with the coaching as part of the total package, that that then, you know, they don't even want to compare an hourly person who's charging $12 an hour, you know, either.
Right.
So yeah. No, right. Obviously, exactly. I agree that packaging is the way to go and value pricing is the way to go, but it's not a simple formula because value
is
subjective.
And coaches, just like everybody else who has a service, coaches are all over the board. The other thing I would say about pricing to keep in mind is that pricing is actually part of your branding and your marketing strategy. So think about where you want price to fall into your branding. So if you look at a company like Starbucks, who when they first came on the scene, people thought they were crazy charging $3 and $4 for a cup of coffee when you could get a cup of coffee at Quick Check for 50 cents.
Yeah.
But it turns out that people were willing to pay that $4 for a drink that had a fancy name and an environment that invited them to sit and comfortably drink it. So
and it's positioned as premium quality too.
Exactly.
You know, it's not the cheapest beans that they could get, you know. It's more like, you know, they're from Sumatra or they're, you know, some special blend.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like it's honestly the difference between shopping at Neiman Marcus or Walmart.
Yeah.
And so decide, do you want to be Neiman Marcus? Do you want to be Walmart? Or do you want to be something in between, like Nordstrom's? But it all creates the image of who you are and how you work. And for the clients who are looking for a certain level of service and attention, and if you can find something to offer that the most of the other bookkeepers are not offering them, that is going to be very appealing and worth paying for, because you create this feeling in the business owner of, I have to have that. And then they go through the process of justifying how they're going to pay for it. And if as a bookkeeper, you can say to them, I'm going to work with you to find enough money in your business so that you can more than afford me, then that's even more appealing.
Yeah, I think that's great, although that's probably pretty advanced skill to learn. But it's excellent. But another thought that may be going through bookkeepers' minds, I mean, this is not a new thought to me, obviously, and I've kind of gotten used to it, but most of us are introverts. And the idea of, you know, being able to provide coaching to clients kind of seems a little bit intimidating. Can you speak to that? I mean, what advice would you give to bookkeepers about being able to coach their clients if they're feeling, you know, like that's not really something I could do well?
So the interesting thing about coaching is that you don't need to be an extrovert to be good at it. As a matter of fact, introverts have a lot of really valuable natural skills that lend themselves to being a good coach and a good advisor.
Really?
Because the truth is that the coaching piece, you know, they're advising and coaching are two different things. So advising, you're giving advice.
Right.
Coaching is really about the support to help your client take action, make change, get things done. And if you look at both of them, at the heart, all of it is not so much being a good talker and being a good conversationalist. It's really about asking the right questions and being a good listener. And most of us, I live with three introverts in my family.
Wow.
I'm surrounded by them. And I will tell you that it's easy for them to sit and listen. And if you can develop your listening skills, then you will be a better advisor. And you will become a trusted advisor because your client feels listened to. One thing that clients don't like, most people don't like, is feeling like they're being run over by a railroad train, where you come in and you say, oh, you're doing things all wrong. I'm going to fix it. Here's what you have to do. I won't take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are going to push back on that. So if you're the kind of person that can be patient and listen to what somebody has to say and use that to make recommendations, then suddenly it's not so scary because you don't have to have all the answers. A lot of the times, just asking enough questions and digging into what's going on with their business will give you the answers.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the answer, you can always say, you know what, let me look into that and I'll get back to you.
Yes, yes. Excellent advice. That's definitely true. And you've kind of given away, that's what I teach as well for networking for introverts, is all you have to do is ask people questions about them. Be interested in them and they'll start talking to you. So that's great advice. If we just take a few extra minutes and ask questions of the client about their business or what they care about, we've already started to learn how to do some coaching.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. That's a great tip. But let's talk a little bit about the dark side of coaching.
Dark side?
Yes, for going to the dark side. What's the biggest mistake that you made when you were first learning how to coach and advise clients?
I think the biggest mistake that I made was just not being clear enough and upfront enough about what it takes to create change. And, you know, if you're going to co-create success with your client, that takes participation from your client.
Right.
You know, unless you're coming in and saying, I'm going to do your books slightly differently and I'm doing it for you, that doesn't necessarily take any participation. But once you're asking them to make a change in the way they do business or, you know, the way they look at their business or, you know, sometimes you might take a look at their books and say, you're spending more than you're making, or, you know, there may be something glaring that you could give them advice about, but they need to participate in it. And a lot of times change doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the beginning I was very enthusiastic and was like, yes, yes, we can make all these changes. And what would happen is I would get a lot of resistance and the clients weren't making movement. So now I'm very upfront. I say, you know, you have these goals and we can get there together. But you need to know that it's going to take time and effort from you and you have to be willing to make some changes. Because if you want to keep doing everything the same, then all your results will stay the same as well.
Right, right. So I guess we could take from that on, well, how would you say that if bookkeepers, because we do have that issue, even if we're giving small helpful tips to our clients, like stop using business funds for personal use and give them hints like change the debit card that you use. And and the clients are like, oh, yeah. And then they're never doing it. And then they get upset because we're not taking all those things out as business deductions. I mean, that's a specific I could think of for a lot of clients. I mean, do you see coaching as a helpful thing to help clients shift even small detrimental habits?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you can learn the skills that create buy-in from the client, then it becomes much easier to get the client to see you as a trusted advisor and to be motivated to make those changes. And it really does go back to knowing the questions to ask, but also knowing how to talk to the client so that they don't get confrontational.
Yes.
We can sometimes, when we know the answer, all of us can be very direct. You know, it's very easy to just say, oh, no, that's not the way you should be doing it. Do it this way. But think about what you feel when somebody says that to you. You might get defensive and you might put your back up and you might be thinking about, well, that's going to change my lifestyle or I don't like that idea. and suddenly you're resisting. So coaching skills, there are some very simple coaching skills that you can learn to sort of take that level of resistance down so that they're more willing to listen to what you have to say. And, you know, the other piece of it is you have to know how much your client can handle at once.
Yeah.
I will never forget, I was listening to a speaker at a conference once, and she was talking about how, I think she was a marketing consultant.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about how most businesses don't know what they're doing. And she goes in, when she starts an engagement with a business, she usually has a list of about 25 things right off the bat that they need to change immediately. And I was thinking, wow, 25 things, that's a lot. And I actually went up to her after the talk and I said, I'm really curious, of those 25 things that you ask your new clients to do, how much of it do they actually do? And she looked at me and she said, usually none of it.
Oh, wow. At least she was honest.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if she would have been honest if I had asked her while she was on the stage. But, you know, it was kind of like consultant to consultant. And she's like, yeah, they don't ever listen to me.
Mm.
Well, when you think about if I asked you to make 25 changes in your life all at once, what would happen? You would get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You would get overwhelmed. So you might go in as a bookkeeper and see 25 different changes that need to be made.
Mm-hmm.
But change is hard. We need to take baby steps.
Yeah. And I love the idea of the coaching because then we're doing it together. It's not like you're going in and you're going to tell them how to fix their business, because I can see right away that can cause confrontation, because most small business owners, self-included, are basically control freaks. So we don't necessarily want someone coming in and saying, oh, well, I'm going to fix you and make you better. Whereas in opposed to let's work together to get this result. And then we're doing it like next to each other. I think, and that's that win-win, you know, that's wanting to do it together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start with their goals and you say, okay, let's partner. And
yeah,
I love that idea. I love the word co-create, you know, co-create success.
Mm.
But again, that takes down that resistance once they feel like you're on their team.
Mm-hmm. So I guess there's a tip there that even if right now when we're working with our clients, if we're getting a lot of resistance, we can step back and say, am I trying to just tell them what to do and that's why there's a problem? Or am I trying to work as a partner with them, co-creating the result that we're looking for? And just that little shift in how we talk to our clients, I could see that might make a difference. That'd be like testing, putting your toe in the water to test to see, is this coaching stuff work? One thing that I hear from bookkeepers just in general moving towards this advisory or coaching type service to provide to clients is they feel like, well, hey, I'm the bookkeeper. I just make sure everything balances. It's not my place to provide advice to my clients. And you know, I don't want that kind of liability. Now, you're a business coach, Donna. Do you feel like there is, and you're coaching, if you coach with Profit First, I mean, that's financially based.
Mm-hmm.
Is there liability for doing that?
I think if you're in business, there's always liability, unfortunately.
Mm.
And if you're giving advice, is there potential liability? Of course. I can't tell you that there's no liability. Now, I'm not an attorney.
Yes.
But I will tell you what I do, which is, well, first of all, I recommend that everybody have liability insurance, and I would assume as bookkeepers, because there are other liabilities that come with that as well, that the bookkeepers would mostly have that. But I have
hopefully, it's called errors and omissions insurance for bookkeepers. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. And same for consultants. And so it's the same liability insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the amount that you would be insured for might be the same or not. That's something to talk to your insurance agent about.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do is I have an agreement that I have my client sign. It says that I'm not liable for more than what they paid me if any of various things should go wrong. It says that it basically indemnifies the coach or the consultant against any major lawsuit. However, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean they can't sue you. It's mm-hmm. it's another level of protection. Mm-hmm. So my recommendation is what, you know, it's really common sense, and it's the way I run my business and the way I would recommend anybody runs their business. If you're going to be advising your clients, advise them in an area that you actually have knowledge and expertise in.
Right. So don't wing it.
Don't wing it. If they ask you a question that you don't really know the answer to, don't pretend that you know the answer. Mm-hmm. Tell them either that's outside my expertise or that it's not something I have the answer to right now, but I will consult somebody else and get back to you. Mm-hmm. And just do your best to make sure that you're giving good, strong advice based on your knowledge and your experience and your expertise. Chances are the outcome is going to be good. You're not going to have any liability. And be smart. If you've got a client whose company seems to be kind of spiraling down the drain and is really not doing well, you might want to ask yourself, and depending on your relationship with that client, you might want to ask yourself if that's the situation that you want to be in. But right. in general, I'm knocking on wood right now, but I have not, in all my years of working with businesses, I've never had anyone even remotely indicate that they might sue me anything. Mm-hmm. And you're not, as long as you're not doing something illegal, I don't advise them to take tax deductions that they're not entitled right. to, or right. to commit any kind of fraud or hide things. You know, do right. everything on the up and up, mm-hmm. and you have normal business risk is what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. You reminded me actually of a situation I had just recently. I think it was last month with one of my clients that I do some profit first and I do advisory with her. She was asking me about annuities and, you know, almost because her financial advisor was recommending and she was trying to get a second opinion. And I was like, you know, I have a very basic understanding of annuities. I can't really advise you on it, but I know her situation. But what I did tell her was that I'm like, look at, I work with CPAs. There is a CPA that I work a lot with, and he does know all about the different financial instruments, and he understands annuities. I could go back to him just with your basic information and just get his thought, because that's all she wanted was a basic second opinion.
Yeah.
And would that be okay? You know, we don't know your specifics, so if you really want to get into this, you know, I'd advise you go deeper with someone who is an expert on these, but we can get some basics. And she was like, yeah, that'd be great. And that was what I did. She loved it. It was great, but it's not. They just want someone who understands the finances better. But that all being said, I do myself have bookkeeper errors and omissions insurance, but then I also specifically, when I started knowing I was doing this consulting and coaching work, that I added onto it. I had it customized with my insurance company to be able mm-hmm. to let them know, yes, I am providing advisory as well. And they added it on, and it was only slightly more expensive, not much.
Yes, and that protects you, even if a suit is completely unwarranted.
Right,
that protects you because it pays for your defense, right. and hopefully nobody will ever experience that. But you know, don't represent yourself as having knowledge that you don't have, and right. you should be okay.
Right, yeah. And you made another good point, which all bookkeepers should doing this, even if you're just doing straight, you know, compliance work. Engagement letter. You want an engagement letter,
yeah.
and it's going to say what you're responsible for, what the client's responsible for, and you can have your insurance agent help give you the language as well to put in there to protect you on the advisory work.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That was good advice. So excellent. So what would you say is the greatest reward of helping clients, business clients?
Well,
and if you have any stories you could share with us, like a big success maybe that you had at one point that was just so sweet.
Well, I will tell you the biggest reward happened kind of early on when I first started coaching, and one of my clients looked at me and said, "It is such a blessing that you have come into my life."
Oh, wow.
And I said, "Oh, my goodness."
And I thought, you married at the time? No.
You know what? Nobody had ever used those words. Mm. Like, you know, people have said nice things to me, but yeah. Nobody had ever said to me, "You're a blessing in my life." And I was a little taken aback. But then it happened again, and it happened again. And, you know, I'm not saying it happens every day, but what I realize is that what I love about the work that I do is that I'm making an impact. So making, designing and selling jewelry was fun, but it wasn't completely fulfilling for me.
Right.
This is very fulfilling because I know that I'm not only helping businesses, but I'm really changing the lives of business owners. And it's not, you know, the business is a piece of their life, but it translates into their whole life. And for me, that's the biggest reward. You know, financial, of course, I have to earn a living. So I need to get paid. But in terms of doing work that I feel has a purpose, it really, every time I see somebody have an aha moment or start to love their business again, or their business starts growing again, and this takes the financial pressure off of them, or they fulfill a dream that they've been trying to get to, I'm like I'm dancing a jig. Because that's, for me, when we said partner earlier, partnering with your clients, I really do feel like these are my partners, and I love knowing that I've had some role to play in their success. It's their success, but I've been an instrument in that. And I think bookkeepers are really in a position to do the same thing.
Yes.
You're not just a key puncher. You really are in a position to impact somebody's life by helping make their business more solvent and run more smoothly, and maybe finding ways for them to save money or even grow their business. So there are a lot of ways that a bookkeeper can experience that same feeling if that's what they want.
Yes, I agree. And I've had that experience. In fact, if you go to that level of service to your clients, a word of caution, many of your clients may become friends.
Yes.
That's what happens to me.
It's true. And then if you give them your cell phone number, then you're really in trouble because they're your friends, and then they're texting you about business questions. And
It does happen.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I think there are worse things that could happen than your clients become your friends.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, of course, then you can really see the impact you have, too, if it's impacting them personally in their life.
Yeah.
You know, being able to go on that great vacation or something that really makes a difference to them.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, totally agree. Great. So, okay, what if the bookkeepers listening to this say, okay, I get it. I should start thinking about moving towards adding, you know, having some kind of coaching skills so that I can play more of that trusted advisor role. What would be some quick start tips that you would give to bookkeepers who say they want to test the waters a little bit? We've kind of covered some, but do you have any tips that you'd like to recommend?
I think the first way to start is with your own knowledge. And I'm sure that everybody has seen things in their clients' businesses that maybe could be done better in terms of the way they're maybe doing things financially or keeping track of their cash flow. Or I'm sure there are always little things even that point out. So the question is, how do you point it out without suddenly sounding like, well, why is my bookkeeper suddenly giving me advice?
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what kind of relationship you have with your clients, you could tell your client, I'm adding a service where we spend a half an hour each month just going over your books, and I'd like to be able to talk to you about some things that I think might help you reach some of your business goals. Or you could start by saying, I'd love to have a half hour complimentary session with you where we talk about what your business goals are and see if I can help you achieve those goals in any ways that I'm not already doing. So you can, there are different ways that you could broach the subject and start to transition into showing them that you not only can keep their books, but you actually have some advice for them.
Yeah. Yeah. The way you phrased that, almost like one of them, I thought if I was a business owner, if you said, well, you know, I'd like to schedule, can we schedule a half an hour meeting? I'd like to go over some of the things I found in your books that I thought you'd like to know about. Then they're like, oh my God, what?
Yeah.
You know, so, and but yeah, that would be a way to be able to start doing it in a very soft way.
Or even some of the things that I found that I have some ideas, how you can, we can improve them so that you can, you know, I don't want to jump to any conclusions about what the result is, but you can start to broach it as something that they're going to be like, ooh, I want to hear about that.
Yes.
And then, you know, you could give them some of the tips that you've come up with already, but I think the key is to ask them a few questions and really start with, tell me, I'd love to know a little bit more about your business goals and what you might be struggling with, and how I might be able to help you achieve some of those goals. And that will give you some information about where they're headed, and you may then come up with ideas of how you can help them better.
Yeah.
Might tell you, okay, I have a confession. Like if you ask them, what are some of your challenges that you're having with your finances right now or with your numbers? They might tell you, well, you send me those great statements every month, but I don't understand how to read them.
Right.
They don't mean anything to me. Or you don't know what they might tell you, but there are always going to be ways that you can help them. And then you can say, well, I'm starting a new service for my VIP clients.
Right.
People like VIPs. That's for my great. VIP clients, where we go to a package rate, a flat monthly rate, and it includes a session with me every month where we go over your numbers and talk about ways to improve.
That's excellent. Excellent. I like that, Donna. I think I'm going to use that.
Hey.
That's great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, I will. Well, thank you so much, you know, for sharing all of this. Is there anything that we left out that you think would be helpful to the bookkeepers listening?
I think we covered a lot. And,
yeah, we did.
You know, for those of you who just like to learn about business, if they want to go sign up for our newsletter, we at preventusgroup.com, they can sign up. I promise we will not spam you or send you emails every day. You'll get an email a couple times a month from Mike and Donna giving you some great business tips about how to grow your business. So I welcome everyone who wants to go to preventusgroup.com, that's PROVENDUS.com/newsletter, and sign up.
Yeah, and we'll have the link on the blog, so you'll be able to go over. And I've been on Donna's list for quite a while now, so she does not spam. She sends some great tips by email, so. Well, thank you so much, Donna. I really, really appreciate you taking the time with us. And I'm excited for the road ahead, because I really think that if we deliberately cultivate these basic coaching skills, it will make a huge difference in our own practice. We can actually more smoothly get to that advisory premium type service, but we can really, really help our clients as well. And then, of course, that just starts this growing upward situation, because then the clients are singing our praises too, and we get more of the clients that care about really making their business fly with an advisory bookkeeper. What a thought.
Absolutely. Just remember, I think I would leave you with this one thought, which is, You know, I know we talked earlier about a lot of bookkeepers are introverts and, you know, maybe are more comfortable with the books than with interacting with their clients. But when you approach your client and you say, I would like to talk to you about how I can serve you better, every client is going to appreciate that. And that's a great place to remember, just get curious and ask questions, and the answers and the way that you can serve them better will come through those questions.
Yeah, yeah, it will. It will. Excellent, great advice. Thank you, Donna. Thank you so
much.
Thank you
for having me. It's always fun to hang with you, Gabrielle.
Well, thank you. Well, hopefully we'll be doing more. I would like to hear more, so we may be able to bring you back.
I'd love to come back.
So maybe that's a way to close it, is if you have any questions for Donna about this topic of learning how to ask the right questions of your clients, go ahead and comment on the blog, and then we can start a discussion and have Donna's help on that.
Great.